Ladies and gents, I'm speaking to Guy Pratt. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good to be here.
Off record, we were talking about what should I highlight of your past, and we were talking about Pink Floyd, Roxy Music, Madonna. Which one you would highlight?
I don't know. I mean, frankly, it's pretty good right now because Pink Floyd is obviously a very important part of it, but I haven't played for actual Pink Floyd for years because there hasn't been one, and there can't be one now that Rick's gone, sadly. But then, you know, I continue to work with David Gilmour, and then the last few years I've been working with Nick Mason, doing Nick Mason's Source for the Secrets, and of course we played in Budapest last spring, which was fantastic, by the way. We had a fantastic time there. When you have a list of artists that you've worked with, like I do, you go, my God, he's worked with Iggy Pop, he's worked da da da. But I have. It's like I've played on records, and it's literally I just popped into a studio for a couple of hours, and I never actually met them. And
so sometimes you just can't choose things that define you, right?
Yeah, I mean it's true. There's a funny thing that a lot of musicians do where you'll see some musician, and they've got this incredibly stellar lineup of people they've played with. You're thinking, really? They're not that well known. I haven't played with them. And it's because they were in the house band for some charity event.
Yeah. But still a part of it.
And so they get to say, I played with Elton John. I played with the whole list of people. It's like, you haven't really... you have, but you haven't really.
But still, that makes you proud, don't they?
Yeah, of course. You know, for your mum, it's fabulous.
So I thought it was important to talk about this because at some point you were attached to classical music, and at some point you met the virtuosos, and you are part of this little environment now.
That actually came through someone I know. And Nick knows, and who's an old sort of friend, someone who always used to be in Pink Floyd circles, guys. And it was when I was in Hungary with the Source for the Secrets that we met Marianne Peller. It was just at a dinner, and she told me about this thing she was doing, and she said, and I just said, this sounds absolutely fantastic, and I wish you all the luck in the world with it. Mm. I hope it does well. And the next thing I knew is then I was invited to just go to the finals. And then I was suddenly basically told I was in it. But the funny thing is that it's something I don't really have. I've worked with orchestras quite a lot. The nearest thing to a classical piece I've actually played is probably John Lord's Concerto for Group and Orchestra. But the thing he did with Deep Purple, which I actually did the studio recording of. And I've performed that with him with several orchestras around Europe. But I'm a big lover of classical music. I'm not a great player of classical music. I can't really read music properly. And it's one of the reasons I love classical music is because I can't pick it apart the way. If I hear any sort of piece of modern music, I know what the chords are. And I'm thinking, oh, they've used that setting for that. And the drummer's playing that. And whereas with classical music, because it tends to be much more complex, and I can just let it wash over me and basically be an audience. And I've been very and I go to a lot of classical concerts. I'm a big Mahler fan. That's my boy,
right?
I learned the clarinet when I was at school, and the thing is that the music I love, rock music and reggae and all those different types of music, they were very much outside. They were outside the main, and you know, you didn't learn it at school, and that was one of the things that made it so appealing, was that it wasn't the establishment. It was, you know, whereas now pop music is the establishment.
Right.
That's it. You know, you think if for young people now, all they learn, even the one place you used to hear classical, like early 20th century type score, would be in films. But even that's gone. It's become, film music has become incredibly simplified, even if it's orchestral. And I worry greatly for the future of classical music, because a lot of the musicians I work with are really highly classically trained, and I really envy them because they've chosen to play rock and roll, but they can play anything. And so I think it's a great facility to have. You know, there's not a new audience, and I worry for that. And it's probably because I'm getting old. I would much rather go and spend an evening in a nice, comfortable concert, you know, concert hall with an orchestra and be comfortable than in a mosh pit, than going to see one of my gigs.
Does it make an issue for you that in the rest of your life you need to take part of education of classical music.
But yeah, but this is one of the reasons I love being a part of Virtuosos, because apparently every country that it's been shown in, applications to music colleges go up 15%. So this show is actually doing something constructive to breed a generation of, you know, like I said, it doesn't matter what people go on to do. I think there's a thing, most people, as you get older, you start listening to classical music anyway.
Yeah.
It started with, you know, I just started listening to, you know, first it was Latin music, became my big thing, old Cuban music from the 50s. But I guess I was looking for complexity. This is the one good thing about having spent all that time with Pink Floyd, is that Pink Floyd writes songs that are structured like movements. You know, Pink Floyd songs can be 20 minutes long, 20, 25 minutes long.
Yeah.
So I've always been very open to the, you know, to the idea of things not being so, because this whole thing that everything has to be a song, everything has to have a verse, has to have a chorus, has, you know, and so, and I, you know, I love all that. I still love a great pop song. I love Billie Eilish. I do. I think she's absolutely brilliant. I think she's like a kind of, you know, Kurt Cobain or a Pete Townsend or whatever for the next generation. But there's no reason for her to have people in her band who don't know how to play Mahler. You know, there are people, music friends of mine, people I work with, like Dominic Miller, who's Sting's guitarist, and Mike Lindup, who plays in Level 42. And I went on tour with Dominic on his own, and they met at the Royal Academy of Music. They'd be at college, just spending all day studying Bach, but then they couldn't wait to hear the new Earth, Wind & Fire album, you know. But, you know, it stood them in such great stead to, they have the musical vocabulary to go and play anything they want. So why not learn everything and then decide what you want to play? And frankly, all the best rock and roll musicians did that in their bedroom. You know, I don't like people going to college to learn that. If you can't do it in your bedroom, that's why I say I went to the Royal Academy of Bedroom. But I wish, you know, part of it is the teaching. If my clarinet teacher had been more inspiring, then perhaps I would have carried on with that. But it doesn't stop you. You know, my point is learning to play classical music doesn't stop you doing anything else. It just gives you the facility to do everything else.
Right. As you talk to me, I feel you are very hungry yet. Does it grow, or you just keep it on a level?
I don't know. You know, my life moves as it moves. It seems to have, you know, I'm really happy to have arrived where I am at the moment.
Right.
With in terms of something new to look forward to, Virtuosos is something I find really exciting.
Right.
And a new chapter. Because I think there's a lot of musicians of my age who are just, they've got to this place and all they're going to do is just go round and round and round, playing the same thing, moaning about the same thing, listening to the same thing. And this is a new chapter and a new challenge, and I love the idea of that.
Are there things that you are not satisfied with and you just don't want to do anything with?
Not really. I mean, no, but I've always been, I've never been, I mean, I get people say I'm a session musician.
Does it bother you?
I am in that I'll play on anyone's record, because if it just means turning up to the studio, or now just sitting at home, turning up to the studio, spending a couple of hours, but even if it's music you don't like, it's fun because you're bringing something to someone else's work, and that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
I would only ever go on tour with someone who I thought was cool and whose music I really loved and enjoyed. So in that respect, so I like to think of myself as not so much a session musician, but a serial band member.
yeah, okay. Sounds better. Anyway, thank you so much for your time.
Great, and I look forward to getting back to Budapest.
That was fun to talk to you, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much.